The following program is rated TV-MAL. It contains strong language and is intended only for mature audiences.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's your neighborhood Pinhead 198 back. And boy, this is a regular episode. I hope you guys enjoyed the Halloween audio commentary. If you didn't, that's great, because a lot of us didn't because the movie was shit. But this is going to be a regular episode. And boy, do we got a loaded diaper today, because we got a lot to talk about. And we got to do some cleanup work, too, from the previous episode before Halloween commentary, because first we're going to talk about, well, not first, but I'm going to go off the bullet points. First, we're going to do a Jurassic World Dominion reaction, another audio reaction, as I watch it and commentate. Because it just dropped as I'm recording this. This is Thursday, February 10th. We will also talk about the weekend wrestling, because we got to clean some of that shit up. Because, you know, Shane was fired, but no, he's not. But, you know, then we're going to get into the Brian Kendrick. We're going to talk about overall what happened with the Royal Rumble, leading into why we're here right now, and then stopping at Wednesday's AEW Dynamite, which was last night. I have not seen, and you motherfuckers out here need to really stop doing this spoiler shit. It's not even 24 hours removed, and you're just whoos flooding the internet with the shit I don't want to see. And you go, well, stay away from the internet. Well, I kind of had to get on here in order to be able to get the true facts of what the Shane McMahon fucking situation is. And in that point, there was a spoiler for AEW. You guys need to stop fucking doing this shit. It's one thing when the fans do it, but when you guys, especially you internet wrestling YouTubers, do this shit, you should be kicked in the cock for it. I cannot stand this shit, and it's growing old and grotesque, and you guys know it. It's bullshit. Let's just break it down. For example, this didn't happen in Spider-Man No Way Home, but let me give you a hypothetical spoiler. This didn't happen in case people haven't seen it yet. There's a much grander, better ending to Spider-Man that if I were to tell you that true ending instead of this hypothetical one, you would be pissed if you had yet to see Spider-Man No Way Home. But let's say, for example, you're going to the movie, you got your popcorn bucket, you got your soda pop, your hot dog, and your hot dog in your pants because your dick's hard from Spider-Man, woo! And you're about ready to go through the door, and some fucko is sitting right there and going, hey, you going to see Spider-Man? Sure am, I can't wait. Oh, by the way, Spider-Man dies a painful death at the end. Enjoy the movie, and walks away. I guarantee you it would take the force of God himself, even if you don't believe in God. It would take God himself to come down and stop you from beating the shit out of that motherfucker and sending him to the hospital. Because it's rotten, grotesque behavior by fuckwit idiots who get glee off of ruining other people's experience. Fuck you, pieces of shit. And if I didn't condone more now self-control over violence, I would say you deserve to get your ass sent to the fucking ICU at the local hospital you're at, because you're garbage. Anyway, we'll get into more rants soon, but that's the point. I'm tired of this AEW, WWE spoiling shit when we're not even 24 hours removed, or even worse, the insiders that get in the mud and find out the backstage shit and spoil it for us before the fucking pay-per-view or events even happen. It's childish, and I'm tired of this shit, but we're going to get into it, and then we're going to do a Moonfall review, because I was trying to do it before, but I got interrupted, so hopefully this episode doesn't get derailed again, because I tried recording once before, and some fuckwits who have no brains in my family, sorry, but it's the truth, shut that down. So we're going to do this one more again. Now let's get in to this Jurassic. See if I can. There we go. You don't even have to spell it right. And it's Jesus. Okay. So the Jurassic World Dominion. And truth be told, I've seen the first one. I didn't see Fallen Kingdom because I wasn't over the moon about the first one, and I doubt this will impress me. Oh, Grant's back. I don't care. Goldblum's back. The whole cast is reunited and back with each other with a new game. It's not a good enough selling point, people, but let's get into it enough. Let's see if this is going to prove me wrong or if it's going to continue the path of absolute dog shit. Let's get into this, and I'm sure it'll be an ad. Oh, no, I'm impressed. Let's go. Not starting with an ad. And there's Grant in the... You can hear him already. Nostalgia. Member berries, member. Member Jurassic Park and Jurassic Park 3, member. That's a nice shot of the long-necked bottle dinosaur. Some of these visuals are a little... They need to be cleaned up before the final release because some of it's on the borderline of cheap-ass sci-fi shit, so... I mean sci-fi channel. They find her, we're never gonna see her again. We gotta protect her, that's our job. Chris, everybody hates me because I love the Lord Pratt. Fuck Hollywood, they're garbage anyway. Absolute fucking garbage. And not for nothing, some of those fucking pieces of garbage pretend to say that they believe and love God, and it's fucking a joke. This summer. Okay, I will go back a little bit because I interrupted it too much with that rant. But here we are. We meet Grant for the first time in, what, 70 years? Alan Grant. You didn't come out all this way just to... And Ellie or whatever her fucking name is. You coming or what? Laura Dern shit. This summer, a mediocre Hollywood blockbuster once again graces theaters. Damn, B.D. Wong, you getting old. I'm sorry. I love you, brother, but God, you getting old. So are you, Grant.
Does she have a taser in her? Yes!
Locusts. No, of course not. The pterodactyl! It's morphin' time!
Of course.
Triceratops!
Yeah, alright.
Saber-tooth tiger! Oh no, we're not doing it.
And there's the...
Because your movies have to keep making these over-the-top, unexisted, hybrid fucking dinos. That's why, Mr. Goldblum. Yeah, that looked very average and mediocre, and I'm sure that's how the final product will be. I'm not trying to be that guy, but God, some of these Hollywood blockbusters, you can tell, they just phone it the fuck in. And this movie looks like another one that's really just going to solely, not all... You gotta write something. Even the most brain-dead movie has to write something. We'll get into that with Moonfall. But you guys are really, really gonna push your heart on that. Member berries. Member Quint. Member Malcolm. Member Lord Dern. Member. And we're gonna go through this shit again. Just like we did with Halloween Kills. Like, enough is enough. Kind of what we did with Spider-Man No Way Home, but No Way Home gets a pass because they executed it terrifically. I will say, and I'm going to go on record, and this is going to piss a lot of people off, especially some people that I might know, but I won't say I can't stand her, but I think Bryce Dallas Howard is absolutely over-fucking-rated. She never has been, and she never will be, equal to her father. It's just not going to happen. You might barely surpass your Uncle Clint, you know, Clint Howard, but you ain't beating Ron. I don't care. I don't care if you last 70 years more than your father. You're never going to amount to what he is because you're mediocre. I'm sorry, girl, but you're mediocre. And that's not a knock on you. I'm sure you're a great human being. You're a very attractive, beautiful woman. But as an actress, you're lackluster at best. So, and that's another reason why I'm not looking forward to it, because she's in it. And every time she's in it, it's like Doink the Clown being on old WWF television. Every time that came up, ratings would plummet into the sea. So, she's the Doink the Clown of Hollywood actresses. Good for you. At the very least, she's Bob Backlund. For those of you that don't know those, you can look them up. There's some old wrestlers that mid-card's putting it nicely, so that's what she is. If she was a wrestler, she'd be mid-card at best. Lucky to be an intercontinental or tag team champion. Definitely not a woman's heavyweight champion. No heavyweight champion, period. So let's move on from trashing her. I would say Jurassic World Dominion is going to be mediocre, just like that trailer was. I got no excitement out of it. Not even your member Barry's bullshit, so hopefully you step it up in the next one. And please fix some of the visuals. Some of the visuals were cheap fucking looking. Some of them looked fantastic, and I'll give them that. But some of them looked like some cheap ass sci-fi original pictures bullshit. You need to clean that up before the final release, Colin and company. He's another one I think is fucking overrated, but I'm not going to get into that rant. So anyway, let's move on. That was fun. Ish. Okay, let's get into the wrestling stuff, because this is going to take the most, because we really got a lot to unpack. Starting off first with Shane McMahon. Now, let's get some little disclosure from what we know, us marks. After the Royal Rumble, which the men's Royal Rumble was a fucking disaster, the women's Royal Rumble was actually really good, regardless of the result of Ronda Rousey. And I'm not going to do the spoiler. If you didn't see Royal Rumble, starting to sound channel my inner Aussie right now. But even if you didn't see the Royal Rumble, everybody fucking knows who won the men's and fucking women's Royal Rumble, because it's been all over the news, all over ESPN. Yes, but you know, wrestling's fake and doesn't hit the mainstream. Like, it's all over everywhere. So we already know that Ronda Rousey, whether I like it or not, and I don't still know how I feel yet. I don't know if I like it or don't like it, but Ronda Rousey won the women's Royal Rumble. But hey, fellas, not for nothing, the women showed your ass up. Whether that's your fault or management's fault, you guys were embarrassed by the women's Royal Rumble, because I was far more excited to see some of the shit that was there. Some of the stuff you did with the men, I was like, what are you doing? The women just put on a banner Royal Rumble that went back. It wasn't perfect. Let's not be daft here. But it started to go back to the good Royal Rumbles, where you're like, oh, she's back. Oh, you knew they weren't going to win, but it's just the feeling of the surprise. That's why I went on that rant on that last episode before we watched the Royal Rumble, of these fucking idiots giving away who's coming out as a surprise. That's fucking stupid. And it proved my point when I was at the Royal Rumble, because luckily, there was a couple of slots left open for surprises. And I was actually pleasantly surprised. Like, I didn't know Ivory was coming back in her Right to Censor gimmick. That was fantastic. It was short, but it was sweet. It was fantastic seeing her again. And she still looks good, goddammit. Still looks good. We got Alicia Fox. I wasn't a huge fan of her, but it was cool to see her. I'm like, damn, girl, you're sobered up. You're back and ready to go. You know? Of course, we got the Grimm's Toy Show controversy where, he made fun of us. Shut the fuck up. If you can't have thicker skin over something that weak, get the fuck out. And I don't mean out of this country. I mean, get off this fucking planet. Self-delete. Because you're useless. I'm sorry, but it's garbage. So, we got Alicia Fox returned. We got, we knew Summer Rae, because that's where the rant started. And no, not the fucking internet thought Summer Rae either. Try again. We also got a... Who else did we get? We got quite a bit. We got an act... Oh, Michelle McCool came back. That was cool to see. What was really cool to see, even though... Just for the stupid Sonya Deville bullshit, it was really cool to see Cameron come back from the Funkadactyls, Naomi's old partner, and still her BFF. You kind of shit the bed on that one because you got her eliminated moderately quick because you wanted to pull some shit with... You want to push the Sonya Deville-Naomi rivalry, which is completely unnatural, but hey, we'll go with it. But overall it was great. And then we got the men's rumble. And this is where we get to the point after I went on my unnecessary tirade, a little harsh too, so I'm sorry for the self-delete, but you people piss me off with this. I'm gonna cancel everybody, I'm gonna bitch and moan all the time. What are you contributing to society except for toxicity? People say I'm toxic. Have you been outside in the fucking world lately? I'm softball compared to some of these expert toxic motherfuckers, so just take it easy, buddy. But anyway, let's get back to the point. So we get to the men's Royal Rumble, and we're not going to go through the whole Royal Rumble. You want to see that piece of shit and subject yourself to absolute misery, you go right ahead and go on the Peacock streaming service, and you watch it all for yourself, because I'm not going to subject myself to the PTSD, and I'm not going to subject you to what you know at the end of the day, even you diehard apologist who are in denial, you know it's fucking dog shit, so we don't need to go through it. But we need to talk about the men's Royal Rumble because it was a disaster. And Shane McMahon was blamed for it, which is fucking laughable. Beyond my affinity for how much I love Shane McMahon, this has been a problem before Shane, and it will continue to be a problem after Shane, even if he does get fired, which the rumor was that night he got fired because by his own father... Because he botched the Royal Rumble. No, Vince, you and your fucking writing team botched the fucking Royal Rumble. Not Shane. Hell, not even any of those men or women. None of the men or women who work for you, they're not botching it. Except for when they fuck up a move. And physics will say we're going to have that. But when we're talking about storyline progression and the overall storyline and the move... That's you, Vince. That's you and your shitty fucking management and writing team. You have 100 writers in there and not one of you fucking chimpanzees can come up with even a decent idea, let alone brilliant. We're not asking for brilliant anymore. We're just asking for decent. And you can't even do that. You can't give us decent and you consistently give us dog shit. So McMahon got fired. Shane McMahon got fired by his own dad for fucking it up. Or did he? I'm going to go off of this video via Wrestle Talk TV. We're not going to watch the whole video. We're just going to do the short synopsis of what's going on here. And then we're going to go from there. Full credit to them because I actually want you guys to go to their channel, Wrestle Talk TV, excluding the AEW thing. They're usually on point. But they love the spoiling shit too. They did it on this episode. But other than that, WrestleTalk, they're on their shit. I like these Brits. Like, they know their wrestling shit. They probably even know more than I do if we sat down and had a real conversation. But we're going to go via WrestleTalk TV. Full credit to them. Like I said, check out their channel, especially if you're an avid wrestling fan, and subscribe because WrestleTalk is on their shit. Let's see what they found out about the truth of the Shane McMahon firing. Let's get into it.
Penance for a lackluster rumble match. Please take my shame to satisfy my shame. However, it appears that Shane O'Mac is still involved with WWE in some capacity, as Marco Mazzotti, the owner of South Africa's Sharks rugby team, revealed via Twitter that he had met Shane to discuss a partnership with WWE. He even tweeted out a picture of the meeting, and sweat gland analysis has confirmed that this is indeed Shane McMahon in the picture. Finally, for the news section...
So there you go. Now, we can't confirm nor deny now anymore. That's true. It's going to be very hard to believe that a man who's been fired from his own company, from a company by his father, is going to continue to work for free on the side. Shane's smarter than his dad at this point. He ain't doing that stupid shit. So it looks like Shane O'Mac is still in the company. Hip hop, hooray, thank God. Because quite frankly, and he's not the end-all be-all, trust me. But a lot of times, Shane McMahon is the only one that can come in and save this company a lot of times from the doldrums of mediocrity. So, the absolute compliance of complacency. He comes in, does high-flying shit, even at his age, because he's getting old, just like me and the rest who've been watching this shit for too long. He still flies and hits the coast, west coast and coast to coast with the trash can, and, you know, jumps over. So you got to bring him in once in a while because this shit's fucking ridiculous. So there's that, and that didn't need to take that long. It's just, here we are. And thank you for that. You spoiled for the fact that I know a certain black wrestler who I really, 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 really love from NXT. Thank you for spoiling that for me. And I'm saying this that because I don't want to, for those who have not yet seen the new episode of AEW, but I think we all know a certain big, strong black man, you know, came to the KKK company, by the way. You know, ran by the KKK. Make that make sense. But it was good to see him. I just would have liked to have that fucking spoiled for me when I watched the goddamn episode of AEW Dynamite, you fucking assholes. But anyway, we're not going to get back into it. This is what I'm talking about. The glee out of spoiling shit. I do not get it. And I never will. I never will. Whether the movie, the television show is good or bad, I never will understand the glee of spoiling shit. I understand slipping because I've done it before. But, like, blatantly going into a room and proudly spoiling the shit with glee. I'm not going to say what I was about to say. We'll move on, because it's now pissing me off. You can feel the trigger in my voice. It's just fucking obnoxious. It's not necessary. Anywho, then, now, we do have... And Jim Cornette made, and it was from the information we had at the time, Jim Cornette was 100%, and I agreed with him, and I still do, because if we had all the information at the time, instead of this little backroom politics bullshit where you're hiding everything from not just us, the Marks, but major people in the know who've been in the business for years, like Jim Cornette. Jim Cornette didn't even officially know, but Jim Cornette made a good comparison, and this will lead into our next topic about the two nuts who got themselves, well, one nut and the other hack, who, like, it's like we're making a competition to, like, see who can get out the door fastest. So, full credit to Jim Cornette, because I really love him. Some of the shit he says is fucking stupid, but all of us do, and myself included. And if you sit down and take a critical look into yourself, you know you say stupid shit too, so don't even fucking try it. But on this, a lot of times I do agree with him, and I highly, if you want real good wrestling knowledge, don't come here. Go Jim Cornette and his drive-thru. That's where the real good wrestling knowledge is, the accurate shit, because he was there for a lot of your big events. He was there, so the Montreal Screwjob, the curtain call, he was there for all those major events. He was close to someone with the plane ride from hell, so he got blow by blow. So he was there for all the major events, whether good or bad. And the Vince Russo years, which were, God, fucking awful. I don't understand how that man can think he is good at writing anything, let alone professional wrestling storylines, but we can save the Vince Russo years for another day. Anywho, the point is, Jim Cornette made a valid point about. So, Leo Rush, after four months, was released. We talked about the big swole Leo Rush, you know, black, you ain't being fired because you're black, it's because you're whack. Well, the controversy and why we are still talking about Tony Khan, who is not a white man, once again, who is in the KKK, even though he just signed one of the most sought-after black dudes in the business, free agents right now. And like I said, wish I wouldn't have known that, but he's in the KKK. But the point is, Leo Rush had a fit, they patched things up, and then Rush was given DOS boot out the door. Now, I would say on a level, yes, it is petty of Tony Khan for doing that, but however, it's not a form of racism in this point. Maybe you might have the big swole. I don't buy it, but with Leo Rush, it's not, because this is becoming a track record, because every company he gets in, he's literally like, it's like it's a personal goal of his to be there for 4 to 6 months and then go on. It happened in NXT. It happened in WWE, where it was very, very short. It might have even been shorter in the NXT. And then he went to AEW. He did some goofy-ass storyline where he was promoting how he's the greatest promoter in the world. That dropped out because no one cared. Not even him. You could tell he didn't care because he didn't put any effort in. So why should the fans care? And then why should the promoter care? So then they dropped him off the face of the sea and said, come back to us when you have something. Because a lot of times Tony Khan will let you, especially if you're an established, you know, underground darling, especially like Leo Rush is, which I don't understand with a lot of you out here loving this douchebag. He's an idiot and an asshole. He literally goes to companies, grifts in companies, like the glorified grifter that he is, takes the cash. You might as well call him the Steve Miller Band, because, you know, go on, take the money and run. That's what he does. He go on, take the money and run. So, and that's what he's going to do in the next Impact or any New Japan, Mexico. Do not, God have mercy on your souls if you sign that fuck. But the point of the matter is, he was out the door in 4 months. Well, Shane McMahon, like Jim Cornette said, hold my beer, because I'm going to get released from the company owned by my daddy in less than a day after the event that I joined on. So less than 24 hours, I got shit canned. And then Brian Kendrick, who I used to like before, and I'm not a fan of cancel culture, but goddamn, guy, some of the shit you're saying out there is, you need to be thrown in the nut hut. Like, you need to be buried in the darkest reaches of Arkham Asylum, because you are dangerous with some of the shit you say. Because some of the shit you say is shit that well-known serial killers and cult leaders have said. And we all know how that violently turned out. But anyway, Brian Kendrick, I was almost going to call Kendrick Lamar. I'm sorry, Kendrick. You deserve better. Brian Kendrick came in and said, all y'all guys are pussies, because I'm going to get fired from my new job before I even step in the front door for my first day. Whew, boy, I tell you, that's next level artistic fuckery fuck up. Like, I talked about Rembrandt's. This guy's gone beyond Picasso and Rembrandt. And I mean, this guy is a fucking scholar when it comes to fucking up. Yeah, he could have been the guy that wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls of fucking up, or the Holy Bible of fucking up. Because this is expert level assassin fuck up mentality. And, you know, you don't gotta take my word for it. Let's look some of it up. Because it's still out there. People are still pissed off that he even got a chance to come to AEW after. Because they're like, oh, cancel culture runs amok. And like I said, I cannot stand it. However, like my boy Mike from Filmmaker Mike and the boys we were talking about on break with The Rock, same rules apply to you, Brian. Like my boy Mike said, sometimes just shut the fuck up. Just shut the fuck up. Let it ride, as the old classic rock band once said. Let it ride. Because a lot of you out here don't let it ride. You know. And then we get this fucking bullshit. You know. It's a great song, too. I don't understand why you won't listen to, you know, BTO telling you, that's Bachman Turner Overdrive, for those of you that don't like classic rock, and Let It Ride, okay? Just let it ride. And then we'll deal with it when it really becomes a problem, to where, okay, this motherfucker's in the community trying to hurt and cause problems for all of us, and he's not getting it, then we can start thinking about a cancellation. But you guys don't even give it a chance, and you guys are digging shit up from 50 years ago half the time. So just let it ride, or you're going to end up eating yourselves and destroying civilization. But in this case, if you see this shit, you're like, it's, you can't defend it, because it is some of the nuttiest, psychotic. That's why I said he needs to be thrown in the nut hut. I don't think he should be canceled or fired. He needs to be taken out of where he is and put in a mental health facility. He needs to be in the nut hut to get mental health to help himself. Because everything I hear off of this is a mental health problem. Someone that could actually be fixed through therapy, as much as I don't believe in it, and getting medicine. Actual real medicine that works, not the fucking bullshit that the pharmacists and pharmaceuticals push off on you that make you a zombie. Contrary to the popular belief, as disgusting as Big Pharma is, there are some mental health drugs out there that do help people. I know, I take them. And they've stopped me from killing a lot of people, and that's not hyperbole. Literally stopped me from massacring fuckwits like y'all out there in cancel culture. So, he needs help before he really does something worse than just a few bad words. So, let's get into this, and then we'll move on to the Moonfall review. This is crazier than Alex Jones shit. Whether you're a fan of Alex or not, this is, Alex Jones can't get this crazy. And this is true. So let's look it up, because we need to look through. If you just pull his name up, they won't talk about it. But if you say Brian Kendrick controversy, then they run amok. Controversy explained, Brian Kendrick is within the... We're not going to do that. Brian Kendrick kicked out of AEW Dynamite after offensive comments. So let's look this up, because it's more than offensive. It's fucking insane. This is insanity at its purest form. Okay, so now, and I'm glad we brought this up, because most recently, Brian Kendrick has issued an apology for vile comments. Yeah, okay. Let's look at this one, because this was February 2nd, and this is within, and we'll read this article, and if we don't get any of the comments, we can just move on, but... Several old Brian Kendrick interviews and quotations were the wrestlers spread outrageous, offensive, and... potentially dangerous conspiracy theories circulated online today. Yeah, even though it was, you know, 10, 12 years old, and we had internet then, but, you know, so pathetic. With controversy swirling, Tony Khan pulled Kendrick from his announced AEW match with Jon Moxley. Oh, God, Kendrick, why'd you fuck that one up? That would have been fantastic. Kendrick versus Moxley, two unorthodox styles going head-to-head. You just can't help yourself, can you? That's why I said you need to be put in the nut hut. Because you're insane. A couple hours later, the now 42-year-old Kendrick tweeted an apology. Of course you did, because that's the thing. We cancel, then we apologize, and then we stay canceled. Like, what's the point? Don't apologize. Like, I thoroughly believe in not apologizing, because it doesn't get you uncanceled. If anything, it makes them want you canceled more, because you're like, oh, you look like the kid who mama caught with his hand in the cookie jar 10 minutes before supper time. And you, oh, I'm sorry. Shut your ass up, boy. You know you ain't sorry. You got caught. You sorry for getting caught. Get in there, get your hands washed, and get ready for supper. You ain't eating cookies before dinner time. And that's what the apologist tour from everybody that does it. You too, Joe. It's just to save our ass, not to save face or actually care or really believe in the apology we're giving. It's just to save our money and our fucking bank accounts. But I digress. A couple hours later, the now 42-year-old Kendrick tweeted an apology. Of course he did. I spread the most vile comments without thinking of the damage. No, you didn't. You knew what you were saying, so stop it. It would cause... I will live with this regret for the rest of my life. I am truly sorry for the pain I have caused. I apologize for all the hurt and embarrassment I have caused. My God, I have caused with my words. These are not my beliefs. Of course they're not. And never were beliefs important. I crossed the line. I lost my job. But I crossed the line. I'm sorry. See how well I can do it? So, and this is what I'm talking about. The obvious question they have after reading these messages is if things like Holocaust denial, which really pissed me off, but we do have a point to be made where some have mentioned that, you know, Whoopi did the Holocaust denying too in a different term, and she just got suspension. She didn't get canceled, but maybe because she's a black woman. Maybe. Not only that, she's a black lunatic liberal. Maybe. But it's okay for Whoopi to do it. I'm just saying, we're tempting into the dark ages of hypocrisy here. We better be careful, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, but I can't stand that Holocaust denial shit. It pisses me the fuck off because it was a disgusting point in our history and it's an embarrassment on world history. And anybody denying that shit, you're not only fucking racist, you're a stupid piece of fucking white trash garbage. Moving on. Have never been your beliefs or yours. Why do you repeatedly espouse them? Exactly. Why do you... Because this is... Kendrick, it would be one thing if you had done this one or a couple times. You went through... And this is another reason why this is kind of outrageous. Because this has been for decades. Ever since he's been a young man in the business. He's... A couple years later, I don't know what he got into, especially when he got semi-successful. He's been espousing this shit for years. No one said shit. He's been saying this lunatic Arkham Asylum nut hut shit for years. This is not new. Maybe new to the council culture who have now become fucking detectives like the Batman or Sherlock Holmes, but we've known about this and we've been trying to tell you. And you didn't want to listen because... He was making us some money, because that's what it all comes down to, especially for cancel culture. If you make enough money for somebody, their morals and ethics will go right out the fucking window. Especially if you're making them those billion-dollar bags, yeah. There's no such thing as morals, ethics, and dignity. So let's just stop the bullshit and stop pretending like we're actually these moral, great, high-ground motherfuckers when we don't give a fuck. Not all, but most. Okay, so we'll end this here. I don't know if I even want to go into to be honest, because some of it's fucking... If you want to look up his comments, you look them up, because some of it's not only vile, some of it's just like, what the fuck are you talking about, you nut job? Get him in the fucking white coat and throw him in the nut hut. He's insane. And dangerous with that type of shit. We'll see if Kendrick answers that. No, he won't. He already gave his apology. Why would he answer it, stupid? In the meantime, he is at least denouncing his... No, he's not, but we'll just say that. He's at least denouncing his past words and owning their impact. Whether that or anything is enough is something people will have to decide for themselves. It's not enough. It's never enough. If you fucking set that motherfucker on a blaze of fire and burnt him like an old Salem witch, like literally burnt him like a... They'd still be pissing on his grave and cussing about how terrible he was. Like, it's never enough. I will say that. I'm not trying to defend Brian Kendrick, but with cancel culture, it doesn't end, and it is... There is no pound of flesh big enough to end it. So, but I'm not going to get into the comments, because if you want to find those, you seek them out for yourself if you're such a curious Kathy, you know. I'm not doing that, because I really don't want to go down the conspiracy theory nut hut rabbit hole. So let's get into the Moonfall review, shall we, gentlemen and ladies? Okay, we're not in rare form today, but I'm a little agitated because, God, you fucking wrestling idiots. Anyway, let's talk about the masterpiece that is Ronald Emmerich's Moonfall. Oh, and I better do this because I don't want to be a dick, and not like you guys are going to go see this, but I'm going to put the spoiler warning out there. None of you are going to go see this. And the reason why I know this is because this movie bombed at the fucking box office. It only pulled in to date off of a $150 million estimated budget. As of today, it has only pulled in $17.40 million. That is a stinker. An absolute stinker.
So none of y'all are gonna go see this, because if you would have done it after you saw the penis festival that was Jackass Forever. So you could have had a double feature of brain deadness. Like, literally, you could have had a brain dead double feature of, you know, Cox on the Rocks, Jackass Forever and Moonfall, but you didn't, so we know you're not going to go see this. But at any rate, enough rambling, let me put in the spoiler alert warning. This is your one and only warning, and then we're going straight into spoiling the fuck out of this shit, and then we're going to wrap it up. Let's go. Alright, and then of course we got a fucking commercial, because, you know, we live in the age of brainwashing, so... Alright, that's more than enough. So, it's now... not that this matters, but we always gotta go back. Let's compare it to the audience score to these fuckwits. Well, 40% on Rotten Tomatoes from the snob-ass, crab-ass critics. 68% from an audience score. That's higher than I thought it would have gotten, to be quite honest, from the audience or the critics. At any rate, let's talk about Moon. Let's read off the synopsis so that we can have a basis of what we are getting into. The summary and synopsis of Moonfall. A mysterious force knocks the moon from its orbit around Earth and sends it hurtling on a collision course with life as we know it. In Moonfall, the mysterious force knocks the moon from its orbit around Earth and sends it hurtling on a collision course with life as we know it. With mere weeks before impact and the world on the brink of annihilation, NASA executive and former astronaut Joe Faller is convinced she has the key to saving us all. But only one astronaut from her past, Brian Harper, and a conspiracy theorist, Casey Horseman, believe her. These unlikely heroes will mount an impossible last-ditch mission into space, leaving behind everyone they love, only to find that they just might have prepared for the wrong mission. All right, so that's a really good synopsis of it, without actually blowing the load of this insanity, because it is fucking insane. I enjoyed this film, actually, up until the last act, where we got real serious and tried to be smarter than we really are. You know, you're not that. And some of the characters were underutilized. Like, Donald Sutherland, I understand, especially for his character, what he was, and his age. I was like seeing Donald, and when I don't get enough of my Donald Sutherland or Kiefer, I get a little upset. But I'll give that one a pass. The one I will not give a pass is the completely misused Michael Peña. He is a fantastic, phenomenal actor, even in dog shit. And he was pointless to even fucking be there. He was literally there for the bag. At least, like, Halle Berry, Patrick Wilson, John Bradley, the kid from Game of Thrones, even the guy that plays her husband. I'm not going to even try and say your name, bro. I'm not going to have the disrespect to murder it. But he played her husband, Doug Davidson. Even he tried. Like, they all tried. Michael Peña was just like, He was a character of what he usually is. And it was sad to see. However, some of the visual effects, like, they had a fucking anti-gravity wave. So toward the end, because I'm not going to spend too much time on this, I'll just give you my real quick how I felt about it, what I thought should have just been thrown out, and what I'd like to see from Ronald in the future. Like, I want to see more like this, but without the serious bullshit. I want brain dead bullshit. Okay, we don't go to your movies, yours specifically, to see you talk to us about the weight of the world and the intellectual dissonance of society. We want to see you blow fucking shit up.
So just stick to blowing fucking shit up. And I was talking to my boy Jester from Filmmaker Mike and the Boys. There is a brilliant scene, and to me, this is what it felt like. I may be overhyping it, but to me, there was this brilliant scene as they're trying to go off into space. It was those three, Patrick, Hallie, and John, their characters, because they're the three saviors, as I just read in the synopsis. As they're going to their mission, the moon has come so far into the Earth's atmosphere that it has turned gravity upside down. And the waves of on Earth of the seas and shit literally turn into an anti-gravity fucking wave that comes up. It is one of the most brilliant disaster piece shots that he has done since he blew the fuck up out of the White House on Independence Day. It was absolutely beautiful. I was like, I'm all about eat my hot dog, eat my popcorn. Like, yeah, here we go. Brain dead shit. Woo! And then we get into space and then we get really fucking serious about how, you know, the story, the entity, I'm just going to spoil it. The entity is our ancestors. They're technological ancestors from the distant past. Pretty much telling us that, yes, the Egyptians and all these fucking places, they were built because, not by the Egyptians, but because this alien technological race, excuse me, comes down, which is somehow they never clear up or explain. It's supposed to be our ancestors. And the reason why they don't really fully explain why they're our ancestors is because they're too worried about the dark force. Because, once again, you know what the enemy is that's bringing the moon down? That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You could have had one of three guesses. Alien invasion, supernatural something, but no, we went for the other cliche. It's AI. That's right, Skynet's back. But this time Skynet has evolved and now it can take over all technology. Say for example, if we were in this room right now and I'm recording this and I'm on my laptop and we're all listening to this, this entity would burst through this closet door, kill me, and kill all you listening to it because we're using tech. Because the AI got smarter and smarter, just like Skynet did. And it rose up and wiped out all the ancestors. So the ancestors had to build these arcs that were to protect them. And they were ultra technologically. You see what I'm talking about here? We're trying to get into a real complex. Your brain dead fair, fuckwit. That's what we came here for. That's why I was eating my popcorn. Then I stopped and I was like, really? Even the guy next to me, I looked at him and he looked at me. He's like, he literally said, man, this is too stupid to try and be this smart. I'm like, don't you preach in the choir. It was ridiculous. Other than that, the movie was, I had a blast with it. I understand why people will not want to go see this and waste their time with it or money. And quite frankly, I can't bitch about it overall because with my Cinemark movie pass, shout out to Cinemark, they are a great company. I get a free movie every month. Sometimes they sneak a little, you know, care package in there and give me two a month. Depends on how much I bought from concessions and, you know, and so it's still all about capitalism. But I didn't have to pay for this. Not even online fee. They fit the bill for that too. Like usually you'll get, oh, it's free, but I got a dollar. They cover the dollar, $2-3 fucking serve internet fee that you order tickets online. So they make sure you get in for absolutely free. So I didn't have really, even if this movie ended up being absolute dog shit, which to me it wasn't. To a lot of people it will be. Especially Rotten Tomatoes types who are like, this is not cinema, Pinhead. This is lowbrow, unintelligent, dim-witted fare. This is not true. Shut the fuck up and get back into your fucking cage, you fucking snob. Jesus. But for me, this was actually a really fun film until, like I said, toward the end. I will say John Bradley, his Casey character, he had a great arc in here, and he almost got me he gets you in the feelings, because at first, you're like, this guy's fucking obnoxious, but by the second half of the movie, and all the way up toward the end, even with the flaws of the end, you fall in love with this guy, and you're like, God, he's awesome, and he's actually funny. At first, it's forced, but then he gets into his stride, and John Bradley just knocks it the fuck out of the park, man. He did a great job. He is definitely the standout in this movie. It sure as hell wasn't Michael. And Patrick wasn't bad either. Excuse me. Patrick was actually really damn good. And Halle Berry, you know, baby, he's still looking good. Woof. Gosh, she still is good. She can still act. Like, the moments, it wasn't great, but, you know, that's not on her. That's on the writing and the material. But there were some great moments with her and her son that were just beautiful, where you could truly feel, and that's not even her own damn son. That's how good she is at acting. Like, you could truly, I had to look it up to make sure it wasn't her damn real son. But it's not, and that's how good she is. Like, you could feel the chemistry between her son and her and just how much she loved, and this is why. Because at first you're like, she's a corrupt hoe. Threw Patrick Wilson under the bus because it starts off in 2010. And we're going to wrap this up because time is coming down and I don't need to talk much more. But how this gets started, the inciting incident, is they go, all three of them, excluding, obviously, John Bradley's character, him and another young black man go up, and the only reason why I'm saying a young black man is because I don't know his name, because they don't tell you these people's names. That's a problem in here, except for the main characters. They don't tell you the names of the side characters. I had to look it up who the fucker husband's name was, and he was good. But anyway, there's a young black kid who went on the mission with him, and I guess he was considered the rookie. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is they went on a mission, and that was the first time we saw the entity, because they were using a lot of technology. And this is, and according to the ancestors at the end, it only came in 2010, because this is where the movie starts, in 2010, because our ancestors had been able to protect us. But we built up so much technology. It's another social media technology warning, you know. And we built up so many machines in the future, where we're at in 2010, that it was unstoppable. Not even our ancestors. They're weakened. And now they need us to help them destroy them. You know, it's so ridiculous. But anyway, the entity comes and just, whoosh, it's like a big giant. It's literally a technological fucking glob of black. Like, it's like, it reminds me of, like, when you used to go to, as a kid, to the science place, and you'd put your hand in those spikes and it would form your hand. That's exactly what it looks like. Just a whole amalgamation of that shit. And it goes through and it kills the kid. And we cut to current time where we're at now. And he's just like, he was discharged. He was blamed for the malfunction, even though it wasn't him. And he saved many lives. He saved her. And she throws him under the bus. And they hate each other, obviously, because she's two-faced in the beginning. But she gets a redemption. They both get a great redemption arc, to where you're like, it's not perfect writing, but they get a good redemption arc where you can go, okay, inside this brain dead movie, that was a good redemption arc. And even John Bradley's character of KC, he gets a fantastic redemption arc. And his speech toward the end, when he sacrifices himself so that Halle can go back to her son and Patrick can go back to his son. And he tells him, and I mean, it almost got me, because if you actually watch the overall, where we got from here to there, like I said, where he was this obnoxious guy, and you actually got to see him take care of his mother. He's like, just tell my mother, I hope she's proud of me. And he goes out, and he sacrifices himself. It's one of the few hefty emotional moments in a brain-dead movie. And if they did that and then didn't go so serious, I'd probably give this a higher rating. But overall, God, Moonfall was actually really fun. I wouldn't mind seeing it again, but I would have to wait for like an HBO Max, because this is exclusively in theater. There's no streaming, because this is a big blockbuster. This is Ronald Emmerich's company. I think it's Cinemacropolis or whatever it is that he's had for years. He's not releasing it on any. And truth be told, you probably should have, Ronald, because your shit's fucking bombing like a fucking, like it's World War III again, or like it's World War II again or something, or like Vietnam. You're bombing napalm with this movie. But that's my spiel on it. I'm done. I've ranted enough, and we're about to close down the time limit anyway. But I've held you guys hostage for far too long. We ranted, we raved, we fought, we fucked, we cried, we laughed. It was a great time. I love talking to you guys. Even to the few people that may be listening to it, and even to the people that can't stand my ass, I still got love for you.
Don't know what we're going to do in the next video, because like I said, I forgot to mention the Black Phone got pushed back. It's not coming out February 4th because of fucking greedy-ass Jason Blum, who I've already gone on around how much I fucking hate that loser. He pushed it back to June so he could get the Conjuring money. Because there's no major Conjuring movie coming out this year. There's Firestarter, the remake. We'll get into that next episode. That one's going to piss me off. Zac Efron's taking over for the... I'm not getting into it now because this will be another 10-minute rant and we don't have the time. But on the next episode, we're getting into the Firestarter remake. And we're going to get into the full fucking... Once again, Jason Blum doing this shit. And we're also going to talk about Hellraiser as well, because we need to discuss some shit. So, love you guys. Have a great day. And make sure you get out there, kick some ass, lick some good lollipops, and eat some good pussy. Peace.